This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock, Monday, May 13th, 1940. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Holy smokes, can you believe the warm weather we've been having, folks? 86 degrees yesterday and warm again today. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Ruth Millett will be in with some womanly advice on how to catch a guy, girls. First, the Siegel Brothers news. A great buy for the graduate in the family. A prep suit with two pairs of trousers for just $10.95. Siegel Brothers, here since 1890. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack and listeners. More Nazi shoot troops drop on Amsterdam while German troops take the Liege Fort near Brussels. We begin our World Shortwave Radio report with Wes Gallagher in Brussels.
Refugees stream out of this tense capital as Belgium troops battle fiercely to stem a drive which is penetrating the Albert Canal defenses just 45 miles east of here. Belgian Premier Hubert Perriot says the situation is stable and preparations to evacuate the government to England have been stopped. The spearhead of the Nazi advance ranges 13 miles west of Liege. Threatening the flank of that ancient city, Liege fell to the Kaiser's troops in 1914 after 3 days of bitter fighting. German aerial activity is busy with heavy bombing of Belgian troops and cities, but a communique reports that 20 Nazi planes have been shot down. Foreign Minister Paul Henri Spaak told correspondents that morale remains high, but I must say the faces of civilians here show great anxiety. The developments this weekend are triggering memories of 26 years ago. In Brussels, this is Wes Gallagher. Calling Berlin. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is the Third Reich calling. Max Jordan here. The German flag is waving over the citadel of the strategically vital fortress at Liege today. The German high command announced that Belgian forces were disabled by a mysterious new weapon. German censors will not let me say more about this, except that it caused the easy downfall of the Ibn-Imal fortress at Liege. A garrison of 1,000 Belgians laid down their guns in the face of this weapon. Opposition continues by troops in some outer Liege forts. German troops are also driving north of the Meuse River, a natural defense that must be defended by Allied troops. A communique from Adolf Hitler's headquarters says progress is steady and French troops are engaging German soldiers south of Liege. In Holland, German troops have established contact with parachute troops on the outskirts of Rotterdam. Finally, in Norway, the Germans admit that the enemy fleet has been strengthened off Narvik, and it remains the lone remaining Norwegian outpost not controlled by the Nazis. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling Holland. Come in, Virgil Pinkley.
This is Amsterdam, your correspondent Virgil Pinkley reporting. The Battle of Holland continues. Amsterdam woke to air raid alarms this morning as Nazi planes dropped bombs and parachute troops on this city. A determined Dutch army is engaging German invaders, bolstered by the arrival of 20,000 British troops. Dutch military chief general Henry Winkelmann says they are the complete master of the situation. He says Nazi shoot troops have been rounded up in Rotterdam, although they still control the airport. Residents in The Hague, the seat of Dutch government, have been told to stay indoors with their windows closed. A curfew is in effect. General Winkelmann does say that German troops have crossed the Meuse River into Holland on a few points. But he says French troops are now coming to the aid of the Netherlands' 400,000-man army. It is with their allies that the hopes of this small nation are pinned. This is Virgil Pinkley in Amsterdam calling France. Come in, Harrison Salisbury.
Paris here, your correspondent Harrison Salisbury reporting. French and German mechanized units have clashed for the first time in this war. The battle is raging on the road near Tongres, Belgium, 10 miles north of Liege. French military sources say France has won the battle. French advisers say when their troops arrived, Belgium troops counterattacked, stopping the furious German drive and its vaunted panzer tanks. The French spokesman says this is the first test of motorized units, and France has proven its superiority. French air support also bombed tanks and infantry trailing the panzer units. Exchange telegraph reports say that War Minister Edouard Deladier visited the North Belgium front. In a meeting with Belgian King Leopold, he praised the resistance of the Belgian army. One other area is reporting heavy fighting. Unknown action is taking place in the southern Ardennes as German troops are said to be penetrating that area, opening yet another front. In Paris, this is Harrison Salisbury calling London. Come in, Webb Miller.
This is the British Isles, Webb Miller in London. The House gave new Prime Minister Winston Churchill's war government a vote of confidence, 381 to Z. The Prime Minister is in a particularly belligerent mood, warning that the Allies are the preliminary phase of one of the greatest battles in history. Quoting Mr. Churchill, "We have but one aim, victory at all costs. Without victory, there is no survival." Mr. Churchill warned that many months of struggle and suffering lay ahead as Adolf Hitler's legions smashed into the Low Countries of Europe. He says Britons shouldn't be discouraged if they hear of certain withdrawals. After replacing Neville Chamberlain on Friday, Prime Minister Churchill reorganized the government over the weekend. He called it a unity government and has appointed Labourites Clement Attlee and Arthur Greenwood to his cabinet. He also ordered and completed the roundup of 3,000 enemy aliens. This is London, Webb Miller reporting.
We have this excerpt from the new Prime Minister of Great Britain in his address to the House of Commons.
I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word: victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory there is no survival. Let that be realized. No survival for the British Empire. No survival for all that the British Empire stood for. No survival for the urge and impulse of the ages that mankind will move forward towards its goal. But I take up my task with buoyancy and hope. I feel sure that our cause will not be suffered to fail among men. At this time, I feel entitled to claim the aid of all. And I say, come then, let us go forward together with our united strength.
British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Wisconsin Governor Julius Heil says the United States must be the bulwark of democracy during this crisis. He says there may come a time when we too will have to defend democracy. Speaking in Milwaukee, Governor Heil says it doesn't matter how high we have to raise taxes to defend America. It'll be worth it to continue to breathe free air. Siegel Brothers News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Yes, I have a message for all the young people in Superior.
Ah, just having a little fun, folks. But isn't he a great orator, that man? Winston Churchill. Well, young fellow, you're graduating, and we congratulate you on this important event and suggest the appropriateness of correct apparel. You'll have more assurance in the things you do and say. So, tell the folks. Parents, you can buy the correct apparel for your son's graduation right here. Our quality is never questioned, and our prices are to your liking. They're so very reasonable. Prep suits with two pair of trousers, age 12 to 22. Priced in this fashion: $10.95 for the youngies, $14.95 for the mid-lads, and $19.75 for the big graduates. Select a complete outfit. For years, we've been outfitting boys for graduation, and this season, more boys than ever are turning to Seagulls, selecting their outfits head to foot. So step in now while stocks are complete. And you might as well buy them a hat, too, for $1.95. Get better values at Seagull Brothers, 720-722 Tower Avenue in Superior. Here since 1890. Lou.
Mayor Bryn Ausby is pushing for the closed Oakley plant in South Superior to be used for making planes. In a letter to the War Department, Mr. Ausby wrote that in the view of the World War situation, that the European war has proven the need for airplanes in battle, and a large fleet of planes is necessary. He suggests that the Stokely plant would be an ideal location. Two people were killed in what St. Louis County Sheriff Sam Owen says was a murder-suicide at the Nopaming Sanitarium yesterday. While visitors were touring the hospital located outside of Duluth, 35-year-old John Wintonek and Alex Suffolk were quarreling over money. Sheriff Owen says that Wintonek pulled a gun and shot Mr. Suffolk and then turned the weapon on himself. St. Louis County Coroner Ralph Eckman ruled it a clear case of murder-suicide, so no inquest will be held. Nearly 2,000 people toured Nopaming during the National Hospital Day. A man wanted in the robbery of the Ashland Acme Hotel has been arrested in Lancaster, Ohio, by the FBI. G-Men nabbed Roy Johnson for the September 29, 1938 robbery of the Acme Hotel bartender, Ed Frank. Ashland Police Chief C.H. Overdahl says that Mr. Johnson got away with $35. Here's an unwanted sign of spring. Douglas County Sheriff Frank Carlson says that three cabins were broken into in Solon Springs. Sheriff Carlson says there's often a wave of burglaries of cabins before the people get a chance to open them for the summer. Milwaukee's first new mayor since the 1920s was sworn into office. 30-year-old Carl Zeidler took office, replacing longtime socialist Mayor Dan Hoehn. The mustachioed Mr. Hoehn was known for a clean, effective government. The Zeidler victory was seen by many as a desire for new blood. A well-known Superiorite saw a volcano eruption while on a plane. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Lieutenant Colonel Martin Ackerson has seen a lot of things in his life. He's a veteran of the World War and is now with the 19th Infantry at Jefferson Barracks in the Hawaiian Islands. That's where Colonel Ackerson viewed the eruption of Mauna Loa from the window of an airplane. In a letter to Colonel Elmer Olson of Superior, he writes that he tagged along with the Army pilots and newspapermen. He says they got close enough to feel the heat of the lava and smell the fumes. Quoting Colonel Ackerson, the plane acted like a ship in an angry sea over Mauna Loa. A crack about a mile and a quarter opened up the flow of lava, running into the sea. Colonel Ackerson was on the plane to watch the U.S. fleet engage in their ship maneuvers by Maui Island. That's when she blew, Lou.
Wow, that's the good life, being in the military in the Hawaiian Islands. Wisconsin's first real day of summer came yesterday. Wisconsin drivers were out in force. In fact, with the mercury hitting a record of 86 degrees, thousands of people thronged to Patterson Park with picnic baskets. Many cars overheated, though, as alcohol in the car radiator overflowed.
A bit of an eruption of our own, eh?
As a matter of fact, CCC boys in the park helped many motorists get their cars going again.
Oh, those CCCers, Lou, are great. The Civilian Conservation Corps to the rescue. Thanks, Lou, with today's news. As he said, 86 degrees set a record for May 12, 1940. The forecast for this Monday, May 13, 1940, won't set any new records, but it'll be nice, folks. Tonight we could get some showers and thunderstorms. But by tomorrow afternoon, sunny again with a high of 75. Now let's roll out some good old summertime music, shall we? Just for giggles, I blew the dust off this old wax. Sing along now with John Philip Sousa's band and in the good old summertime on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. Yes, indeed. From 1905, folks. 35 years ago. That's The Good Old Summertime by John Philip Sousa's band on station KUWS. Hey, friends, remember that Coca-Cola gives you that happy after-sense of complete refreshment. That's why millions of people enjoy Coca-Cola every day, especially in the good old summertime. Coca-Cola is the pause that refreshes. Simply ask for a Coke. And summertime shoes are on sale at Trade Home Modern Family Shoe Store. The popular new saddle shoes with front or side laces are just $1.99. Trade Home Family Shoes, first in style, first in value, at Lucky 1313 Tower Avenue. Let's keep that fun time, summertime mood going, friends. This is an American classic from the Jones Brothers and Froggy Went A-Courtin' on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Froggy went a-courtin', he did ride a-hoe. Froggy went a-courtin', he did ride a-hoe. Froggy went a-courtin', he did ride a sword and a pistol by his side of. He went down to his mouth's door of. He went down to his mouth's door of. He went down to his mouth's door of. Been many times before. He took this mousey for to see. He took this mousey for to see. He took this mouse for to see. Said this mouse will marry me. Where will the wedding breakfast be? What will the wedding breakfast be? What will the wedding breakfast be? Two green beans and a black eyed pea. There's bread and cheese upon the shelf. There's bread and cheese upon the shelf. There's bread and cheese upon the shelf. You don't need the boy, you can say to yourself. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a-hoe. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a-hoe. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a sword and a pistol by his side of.
Yeah, the summertime music of the Jones Brothers and Froggy Went A-Courtin' on station KUWS. Hi, Lou.
I just want to pass along some good news about National Hospital Day yesterday. Hundreds of Superiorites toured St. Joseph's, St. Mary's, and St. Francis Hospitals. There was some excitement in the maternity ward. Mr. and Mrs. Russell Newman of Station B are the proud parents of an 8-pound, 5-ounce girl at St. Mary's Hospital. Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Williams became the parents of an 8-pound, 8-ounce boy at St. Joseph's Hospital. Not to be outdone, Mr. and Mrs. Byron Ron welcomed a baby girl to their family, born at St. Francis Hospital. Because it was National Hospital Day, the hospital care was free.
Hey, that's great. Good timing, too. Say, did you take in one of those hospital tours?
Hospitals give me the willies.
Oh, they can probably cure that for you, too. Some anti-willy cream or something, I suspect. I bet you don't know why May 12th is the National Hospital Day.
Remember, you're talking to a newsman. It's Florence Nightingale's birthday. Now just pass this note along. The Women's Assembly of the Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church will hold a meeting about Iran in the church parlors tomorrow at 2:30. Iran used to be called Persia.
Iran rugs. Yeah, doesn't sound right, Lou. Well, on with the music. Here's more American classics. This is Maggie Griffin and Shenandoah on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see
Another American classic for your enjoyment, good friends. That's Maggie Griffin and Shenandoah on station KUWS. Hope you enjoyed that one like I did. Now it's time for our newest feature, Just Us Girls, with Ruth Millett. Hi, Ruthie, you sure are looking good today?
I don't flirt with someone at the workplace, Mr. McKenna.
For shame, Jack. For shame.
But I...
I'd appreciate it if you'd stop stuttering and let me continue. This is for Just Us Girls. Gather round, gals, and let's talk shop. You know the best way to find out when men like in women? Don't ask men. For that matter, I haven't asked advice from a man since I talked to dear old Dad. Look at girls who never have dates, and you'll get clues to what guys like in girls. Now, mind you, these aren't good reasons necessarily, but we all must play the game. Take Susan. You like Susan, but men aren't asking her out for a Sunday drive or a Saturday night dance. Susan might not be good-looking, but that's not why fellows aren't sending her flowers. Plenty of not-so-good-looking girls have full date books. The trouble with Susan is that she acts unattractive. She's always apologizing for herself. An air of confidence without being intimidating is a real plus in the eyes of men.
You probably haven't had a date since 1926.
I have good ears, Mr. McKenna.
Oops. As long as you don't have a good right cross.
Now, girls, take the case of Dorothy. She's good-looking and smart, but guys aren't ringing her doorbell because she's too straightforward, too matter-of-fact with men. That's fatal to sex appeal.
You're telling me.
I'm going to come over there, Mr. McKenna, and rip your microphone cord out if you don't stop interrupting. Now, girls, there's the case of Betty. She's good-looking, smart, and gifted. She gets dates, but she attracts men who are a sorry lot.
Didn't you take Betty out a while back, Jack?
What's the matter with Betty? She's self-centered and self-important. She's often the topic of her conversation, which she dominates.
I couldn't get a word in edgewise with Betty.
And don't be like Jane. She's sweet as peas. Too sweet. Men don't even look her way because she's too angelic. Too much sugar can push a man away. And finally, you have Dagmar. She's attractive, but she's also too tweety, too athletic, and gets more excited over a pair of Oxfords than a bottle of perfume.
I like athletic.
I like tweety.
So, ladies, today's lesson is to study the stay-at-home girls. You'll learn from them what men don't like in a woman, and That's Just Us Girls with Ruthie.
That doesn't do a guy like Lou any good. Maybe next time you can tell us what women like in men, Ruthie.
Well, I shall do my best.
Well, what do you mean, a guy like Lou?
On with the music, good listeners. Here's another American classic. Arthur Smith and the Old Chisholm Trail on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Come along, boys, and listen to my tale. I'll tell you about my troubles on the old Chisholm Trail. From a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. From a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. I woke one morning on the old Chisholm Trail. Rope in my hand and a cow by the tail. From a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. From a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. $2 horse and a $40 saddle. Sooner be punching Texas cattle. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. Jumped in the saddle and I grabbed the horn. The best darn cowboy that ever was born. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. I'm up in the morning before daylight. Before I sleep, the moon shines bright. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. Bacon and beans most every day. I'd sooner be eating prairie hay. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. I went to the boss to draw my roll. He figured me out $9 in the hole. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. Well, I didn't like that, so we had a chat. And I slapped him in the face with my old slouch hat. Come a tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. My seat in the saddle, saddle in the sky. I'll quit punching cows in the sweet by and by. Come a tie-eye, yippee, it's getting mighty cold. You long-horned son of a gun, you're getting hard to hold. Come a tie-eye, yippee, yippee-yay.
Ah, yes, indeed, folks. The good old American sounds of Arthur Smith and the old Chisholm Trail on station KUWS. Now, Lou Martin is in with bulletins from the war front.
From Paris, a French communique says the Germans have lost 400 fighter planes in the first 3 days of their drive against the lowland countries. From Berlin, the Deutschland News Service Bureau says that one German division has captured 18,000 Dutch soldiers, including a general and his staff. From London, Queen Wilhelmina of Holland arrived tonight in England after fleeing The Hague earlier today. And this flash from Brussels. Allied sources say a major tank battle is underway tonight in Belgium. 2,000 German and French tanks are in this raging confrontation.
Kind of puts a perspective on things here in the good old USA, folks. Remember to tune in for our great morning programs on KUWS. We sign on with the Star Spangled Banner at 6 o'clock, followed by the news in Finnish, and then it's the NBC Breakfast Club. At 8, tune in for The Man I Married, followed by Houseboat Hannah, Against the Storm, The Guiding Light, Ma Perkins, and Pepper Young's Family. And we'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, and Lou doesn't meet somebody athletic and tweedy. For Lou Martin, then, on this May 13th, 1940... This is Jack McKenna wishing you a very good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.